We're continuing the Chassidus Mevoaris on the Tanya. We're on page Kuf Ayin Vav. We're in Perek Dalid, in the first section there. We're talking about levushim, garments of the soul through thought, speech, and action. And that is how we perform the mitzvahs. And the question is, if doing the mitzvahs is really just the garment, but the main part is what's really going on inside the person. So what's the value of doing the mitzvahs? Really what's going on in these, in the spheros inside of you, the love, the fear of Hashem, etc., etc. That seems to be really where things are happening. And these are just garmenting what's there. So what value do they have? So we're just in the middle where the Baal HaTanya is saying that even if they're just called garments, but they still have very lofty levels, and there's no, and you can't compare, and they're much greater than even the levels of the soul themselves. Even though normally garments are on a lower level than the one who wears them. But here that's not the case, as he's going to explain now. So we're on Kuf Ayin Vav, starting with the words of the Baal HaTanya in the middle of the page. Kamo shekasuv b'Zohar, as it writes in the Zohar, Doraisa v'kudsha brichu kulachad, that the Torah and Hashem is all one. Perush, Doraisa, what's Doraisa Torah? Hi chachmasa uritzono. That the Torah is God's wisdom and it is His will. Meaning to say, as footnote 31 elaborates on, Torah incorporates two aspects. One is the wisdom of the Torah, certainly is the wisdom of Hashem Yisborach, and also has the commands, the mitzvahs, that the king wants you to do. That's what Oraisa means. That's what Torah means. So Torah and Hashem are one. And Hashem Himself is essentially one. So explains the Chassidus Mevoaris. We find in the Zohar that Torah and Hashem is one. Uperish divrei haZohar kimashmam. The explanation of Zohar is as it implies. Shiyuchuda shel haTorah ein rak bekach shidover na'ala v'kadosh. The uniqueness of the Torah isn't just because it's something elevated and holy. For example, like angels, or like souls. In other words, it's not just special. Ela Torah hi chad mamashim HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvod atzmo. The Torah is literally one with Hashem and His essence. KeHaTorah, here's the point. Eino dover shenivra al yedei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah is not a created entity by Hashem. A human being, you know, can create a book. You know, the Harry Potter series. Someone in their mind created a story. But the story isn't one and the same of the essence of the author. It's something the author produced. Hashem is not an author who produced a best-selling book. Rather, the Torah is the chokhmah, and is the wisdom of Hashem. And the wisdom and His desire is one with Hashem. It's not something that brand new happened. It's all part of the great essence of what makes up HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Torah is not a creation of Hashem. It's part and parcel of God's uniqueness Himself. And he explains, "Ki hu ayodea hu amado." He is the one who knows and is the information, etc. Kamo shekasuv la'el b'shem Rambam, as we've written earlier in the Rambam. That's what the Baal HaTanya says, and now we'll see what the Chassidim verse explains, and that'll run us up to the end of the chapter. La'el hu v'devar Rambam. Earlier, the words of the Rambam were brought. The knowledge of Hashem is not like our knowledge. Yediyah shel adam or keves mishnei dvarim. Knowledge, when it comes to a person, is a combination of two factors. Adam hayodea, the person who knows, who integrates the information. Vamada, and the information. Koach hadash shelo, or rather the power of the intelligence. Shal yaduhu masig es hadavar. That thereby he's able to understand the content. So you've got the person and his ability to understand. Avokadosh Baruch Hu hayodeh v'amad. Hashem is both. Habor Yisbarach Hu v'dayit v'chayiv echav mikol tzad mikol pina. Hashem and his knowledge and his existence is all one from all sides. K'mur Hashem, as we explained over there, davar ze'em b'yichol tzadim lovinol buryo. This is something a person can't totally understand. Can't understand how you can be one with all that knowledge. Since you can't separate Hashem and his knowledge and his will, therefore the Zohar says Hashem and his Torah are one. So now, he says now in the smaller print, so if Hashem and his Torah is one, l'chein, avoidus aneshama al yedei levushea, haynu limud Torah b'machshava divur b'kiyum mitzvos b'maisa. So the service of a soul, while it is garmented, is to learn Torah, and that's how you engage your thought and your speech, and to fulfill the mitzvos, and that's how you engage your action. And that is kavoha v'godla malosam. Their levels are higher. Amalas hanevesh alokisatzma. It's higher than the godly soul itself. Why? In spite of the fact that the holy soul is a portion of God on high, but really, at the end of the day, a neshama is a created being, and it's a something. In other words, it's a reality that Hashem created. As you see in footnote 33, he's saying, if you look later on in the 35th chapter, he says that in spite of the fact that the neshama is, I'll just say it outside, is a chelka mimal, afal pikein ain't a betela b'mitzius legamri. It is not totally nullified its reality to Hashem. It's not totally nullified b'or Hashem mamish. It's not totally at one with Hashem. It's, so to speak, Hashem has created an entity that appears to be its own entity, which is not the case of the Torah. Okay. Now, it gets really complicated. In the next paragraph at the footnote, he says, so even though the neshama itself has come forth from Hashem's thoughts and his wisdom. Whereas Hashem always planned on creating neshamas. So isn't the result of the soul coming from Hashem's machshava and thoughts, which is one? We call makom ein neshama atzmo chachmas yisparch. But the neshama itself is not God's wisdom. Rak shirasha umakor misham. Only the root of the soul comes from his wisdom. The yard aliyah serves nasa, and the soul has descended to become its own entity, as the Baal Tanya says in other places. Haneshama ikar shrashim ebechinas alokas mamish. The root of the soul comes from Hashem. Actually, shtal shelo beridas aliyos bechinas nivra, but it has evolved through its descent into this world into the condition of a created being. Yesh v'derv nasa, it's its own thing. Okay, so it's a very complicated concept over here. On the one hand, we're saying the Torah is God's wisdom. The Torah is God's wisdom. And it's one with Hashem. But from that wisdom have come created beings, which although they're rooted in God's wisdom, they still have been permitted, as it were, to become their own entity. So therefore, the neshama is its own entity, as it were. And therefore, it is distinct from Hashem. Now, this is notwithstanding the fact that everything in this world is just a manifestation of Hashem. But that's from Hashem's perspective, not from our perspective. So we don't relate to it that way. On the other hand, the Torah itself is mamish Hashem's wisdom. It's mamish Hashem's wisdom. And therefore you're getting much closer to Hashem with that Torah. Okay. So let's continue back inside, the chassidism of ours. So, ukechol shenivra yasik begadlus Hashem, vislahei b'avas Hashem v'yiroso. So to the degree that the soul comprehends the greatness of Hashem and gets excited with love of Hashem and year of Hashem, it's, even though you can achieve that, you can't totally bond with Hashem. Because a created being cannot, it's not capable on its own to reach Hashem. On the other hand, the Torah of the mitzvah, Shem Chad, Mamish, Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they're Mamish one with Hashem, as the Zohar says, they're one with Hashem. So therefore, through the garments that the holy soul has, which is thought, speech, and action, of the what? Of the Tariq Mitzvah of the Torah, of the 603 Mitzvah of the Torah. That's how a person connects to Hashem himself. Therefore, the garments of the soul are greater than the soul itself. Because through the garments a person reaches the Creator. It's those garments, the ability to think about the words of the Torah and to act on with the words of the Torah. That is what connects you to Hashem in the deepest way. Right? Okay. Zoso Maris, continuing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hichnis es atzmo kivyochol b'Torah mitzvos. It's as if Hashem had himself enter into the Torah mitzvos. Next page. So the point is that Torah and Mitzvah isn't just commands from Hashem how we're supposed to behave, how to conduct our lives the way Hashem wants us to. It is the means in which a Jew connects to Hashem. As the Baal Tanya will say later on in his work, he gave us his Torah, and he garmented his will and his wisdom, which is unique in its essence, with the ultimate oneness, you know, in this Torah. It's as if Hashem gave himself to us. Torah is as if he gave himself to us. This is the real inner depth of learning Torah mitzvahs. Is to attach one's soul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through that. In other words, the closest thing to Hashem in this world is his Torah and mitzvahs. That is his ultimate will. So his ultimate will is in the Torah, so we're connecting to his ultimate will by learning the Torah and by doing the mitzvahs Hashem tells us to do. That is, you know, mamish HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is even, you know, even more so than, you know, the actual spheros themselves. The actual spheros themselves are the power of what we can do. Keser through Malchus. That's what Hashem does. Those are qualities. And yes, we can emulate those qualities. But even emulating those qualities, that's the neshama emulating the qualities, which are still, you know, distinct from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're emulating them. But the Torah admits us, it's mamish Hashem. So obviously we have to use the qualities that we have to be able to learn the Torah and do the mitzvahs that Hashem wants us to do. You know, that's where we use those qualities of the neshama that are similar to Hashem to be able. Now, obviously, you know, if you just have the qualities of chesed, okay, it's a great quality. Every Jew has the quality of chesed. Okay, now God in his Torah says, my will is to now do the chesed. And that's who I am. Me and my wisdom is one. My wisdom is that there should be chesed done in the world. That is my wisdom. So now, when you do that, now you are linking up not just potential, but in the reality. So the kochos hanefesh give you the potential to cleave to Hashem through following the Torah and the mitzvahs. And when you follow the Torah and the mitzvahs, that's how you cleave to Hashem. Because that is mamish Hashem. That's his ratzon. So even though the neshama comes from a very high place, it's a very high place, because it has all the qualities that Hashem has, but until you engage those qualities to do exactly and study the wisdom that Hashem has and do what the wisdom says to do, only then are you really connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's confusing, but that's what he's saying. You can have such a holy soul, an unbelievable soul, but until you actually engage it, you know, in the act of engagement, that reality that you create from what you do, that is what you are connecting with of Hashem. His ratzon is you are one with that ratzon. So that's why when so many people are sending me this email of how in Korea almost every household in Korea has a copy of the Talmud translated in Korean. The whole thing is I understand. The whole thing's an absurdity.
It's not an absurdity.
I know what they wrote, but they don't. They, it's not possible.
They do, Rabbi.
They do. They maybe have a few Agada to Gemaras. You know, maybe they have Pirkei Avos. Maybe they have some simple things. It's just not possible. It's not possible to understand the Talmud without having any connection to Torah. But they say that almost all homes in Korea have a copy of the Talmud, and kids study the Talmud.
They love
this because why? Because since they figured after the Korean War, South Koreans were in a very bad state, and they knew that Jews were successful, and they're smart, so they want to emulate Jews, and they know the key to their intelligence is studying Talmud. So therefore, they encourage their children to study Talmud. They have a Korean Talmud, and they study it. So number one, I don't know of any great Jewish scholar that would translate the Talmud in Korean. You know, who translated this into Korean? It's against the Torah to do that.
They could have translated
it's against the Torah. It's against the Torah to translate it to Korean.
I understand, but they don't know.
And you don't understand that the subtleties of the Talmud cannot be translated unless you have a scholar doing it.
Fine, but
it's no different than looking at a Sansino Chumash Talmud. It just gives you literal translation, and you really don't understand what's going on. It's not possible to understand what's going on.
So they think they're reading Torah.
You know, so they read some stories of the Talmud. They read stories of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa with his chickens. Okay, fine. You know. It's not possible. It's not possible. Anybody who's learned Talmud understands. It's not possible. It's just not possible. It's totally out of a context. How could it be that, you know, they're going to study an egg that got laid on Yontif? If you could have a Yontif or not. They don't even have the concept of Yontif. You know, the concept of Yontif, these concepts are way beyond Nolad, Muksa. It's so not relevant to their lives. It's so not relevant to their lives. What are they learning? So, you know, who are the teachers of this? I'd like to know. You can't learn Talmud without a teacher. You can't. It's just not possible to learn it without a teacher. So be that, you know, number one, it's also for them to learn it. So I don't know who provided for them. It's certainly not Art Scroll. So what happened? A goy took an art scroll, English Talmud, and now translated into Korean. I mean, you know, it's just not possible that they're going to understand what's going on. So they're getting a few legends of the Talmud. You know, you can take an English legends of the Talmud and you translate it into Korean. Big deal. I'm just saying. But even if they would learn it, they don't have the kalim. They don't have the kalim to connect to Hashem. You can look at it as a legal, you know, and they're going to say what a gzeirah shava is. Because what a gzeirah shava is, the word, you know, first of all, they'd have to, you can't understand unless you know the basic Hebrew. If you don't know the basic Hebrew, you can't understand the gzeirah shava. Unless you are totally fluent in the Hebrew language. And it's been so they're translating this into Korean. So how does Korean translate the Hebrew words? It's not possible to understand it. You know, if you're not going to the exact text and using the exact words of the Talmud, how can you make a hekesh? How can any one of the 13 hermeneutic principles? You know, you can't do it. It's not there unless you have a thorough understanding of the Hebrew language.
They won't be able to reach
which they don't have. So they're just reading it. They think they're getting smart. And then they said they love it. They love it. It's like everyone's got a copy of it. So, you know, so let's assume even if they were learning it. So like, what are they getting out of it? A yid, they don't have the neshama that a yid has. So what are you supposed to really get out of Torah? Is mamish a total connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is a total connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's what Torah gives you. That they're never going to get. It's not possible for them to get that from Torah. They don't have the neshama for it. And on top of that, they're not even learning what the Ratzon of Hashem is. Okay, so good. What do I care what they're doing in Korea? They think they're getting smart.
But one thing's
for sure. One is for sure. It's going to be a sad day for a Jew when he goes to the next world. And you go to a Jew and Hashem says to him, why didn't you learn Talmud? He says, it was too hard. I didn't know Hebrew. So Hashem's going to show all those Koreans. And saying at least right. The Koreans tried to learn it.
That's right.
At least they tried to learn it. A goy tries to learn it, and you don't even think there's any value to it. You went to Korea yourself to have a year to find yourself in Korea. So why couldn't you find what the Koreans were finding? Yeah. It's most interesting. And if you would have learned it, it would have touched your neshama. It would have touched your neshama. You'd have been at one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a scary thing. That's the only thing you can get out of that. And anything more than that is nonsense. They're not learning. They think they're learning and they're loving it. It says they love it. They mamash love it. So to a Jew, it's suited for your neshama. Don't you think you wouldn't love it? You wouldn't love it? And it's not even in the curriculum in schools. They do it out of the curriculum. They do it out of the curriculum. It's the Jewish Harry Potter. That's all. So they learned it like a Harry Potter book. You know, but it could only be the stories. It couldn't be. Believe me, it was the lumdus. They'd hate it. And that's the real meat and potatoes is the lumdus, not the stories. Right? Anyway, so that's what he's saying over there. Okay. So let's go over the kitzur on Kufayin Tes. Kitzur of the first section. Lesser b'chimnas anefesh, for the 10 levels of the soul, which is the intellect and the character traits. Yeshlosh levushim, the 3 garments. V'machshava dibur ma'isa shel tarik mitzvah Torah. It's thought, speech, and action of the 613 mitzvah Torah. B'heim melubashim koichas neshama. And that enclothes the power of this neshama. Shekein kishadam lo mei Torah b'machshavto. When a person learns the Torah with his thought, which enclothes the power of the seichel of the person, of his godly soul, when you do the mitzvahs, you speak about the mitzvahs of the words of Torah, you're enclosing the attribute of love of the soul, because the 248 mitzvahs comes from the love that we have for Hashem. Uveshmiras mitzvahs losa say, when you guard yourself not to transgress the negatives, mulubeshus minas ayir shel neshama, you garment the attribute of the fear of Hashem. That's what you're able to do. even though they are only garments, Yeshmal v'machshav diber maishal tarig mitzvah Torah al hasagas al kus v'isaros avavirus b'levav. But even though they're garments, there's an advantage, there's a higher virtue of the thought, speech, and action of 630 minutes of the Torah beyond the understanding of Hashem and the arousals of love and fear in the heart. Because Hashem and His Torah are one. Dafka, only through learning Torah and fulfilling the mitzvahs do you actually cling to Hashem. It brings out, you know, your love and fear for Hashem is able to bring out to that end point. But you got to get to that end point. Okay. We now begin the second section on page Kuf Pei. The second section of the fourth parak. This idea of a person being able to grasp Hashem himself through learning of Torah, it's not such a simple idea. Because, you know, where the Torah is in Hashem's world and where it comes down to our world in a physical realm needs a lot of explanation. So let's continue. We're now at the words of the Baal HaTanya in the middle of the page in Kuf Pei. V'af, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nivra, Nikra Ein Sof, even though Hashem is called the Ein Sof, the never-ending reality, as we say in Tehillim. V'lik Dulo So En Cheker, to His greatness there's no way to investigate it. And also, as the Zohar says, V'leis Machshava Tfisa Beklal, and there's no thinking, there's no thoughts that can grasp Him at all. Can't understand Hashem. V'chein Bertzona V'chachmosa, same thing about His Ratzon and His Chachma. There's no way to investigate his thinking, his understanding. Uksiv hacheker elokai timtsa. Will somebody who's investigating Hashem find it? Uksiv kilo machshavosai machshavosechem. Also says, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. So what he's asking is, how are we ever going to understand this Torah if we're told that we can't even come close to this Torah? How are we able to do this? So the Chassidism verse explains. Me'ach eshretzon of a chachmas yisbarachem kul lochad ima kodesh baruch hu b'chodem atzmo. After we see that the will of Hashem is totally one with Hashem himself. So moving, it's understood. Asher kishem shekodesh baruch hu ein sof, einu begeder tfisa v'asoga. Just like Hashem is infinite, and there's no way to grasp and comprehend Hashem. No way you can comprehend Hashem. Right? Nobody can. Kach ritzon v'chachmaso ein lam sof, so is his wisdom. Has no end. Vem lo malam yigeder nifram. It's beyond what any created beings can comprehend. Converse v'ksuvim, as it says in the writings, shechachmaso machshavta yisparach ein lo malam yigeder chachmaso nifram. That Hashem's wisdom and thoughts are beyond what any human being is capable of comprehending. So now comes the question. Since a human being is a finite, created, limited being, how can we say that human being has the ability to reach with his wisdom, to reach Hashem's wisdom and his desire, and to grasp onto it? For there's no end to him. How can you grasp onto an infinite understanding? This is beyond our understanding. It's beyond our understanding. So what are we learning? Whatever we're learning, we're not even coming close to what Hashem knows and is. So now he has to explain. V'nei Zeh Amru, says the Baal HaTanya, this is what Chazal meant. Since we saw this in one of the mimers we learned. It says, B'makom sh'atamoytze gedulaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu sham atamoytze an vosonuso. In the very place where you find the greatness of Hashem, that is where you find His humility. Now, normally that means wherever you find mention of Hashem in the Torah, you see that He's willing to do things that, you know, otherwise great people wouldn't do. When it tells you how great Hashem is, it tells you that He takes care of the widow, He takes care of the orphans. So as great as He is, it doesn't diminish His greatness by dealing with the lowest of the low that other people in society wouldn't deal with. That's the simple meaning. That where you see Hashem's greatness, He doesn't have to artificially prop Himself up to be great. by staying away from the lower echelons of society. He's so great that he can deal with the lowest people and doesn't take away from his greatness. That's not even such a simple pshat. But that's the pshat we've been teaching for many years, which is certainly true. But now he's going to say an even deeper pshat. So explains the Chassid Mevaris on page Kuf Pe'alf. An vasanu social kodesh baruch hu lefi muvna pnimi, the inner understanding of this idea of Hashem's humility, yishe kodesh baruch hu morid u'metzamtzim es asan l'vorim, that Hashem brings down and constrains his reality to the creatures. The greatness of Hashem, the godless of Hashem, is that he makes himself accessible. We'll see. So the inner meaning is as follows. And what the rabbis say. So what does this chazal mean? Who? The greatness of Hashem, that there is no end. That greatness of Hashem, he, that very greatness, hayoredes umitztam tzemes el nivroim mugbalim. He descends and constricts his thoughts and his understanding in a way that finite human beings have some connection with. But Eifan will explain again, because I don't want to say it exactly, because he's going to explain it more. The next page is going to explain it, so I can't. But Eifan Shisham, the idea of Shem there, Hainu b'madrega ha-gedula gufa, that level of greatness, you find his humility, you find his desire to lower himself and make himself accessible in terms of the chokhmah to human beings. Now he's going to explain this, what this means in the next part of the page. Okay, because the word tzimtzum here is not the same translation of tzimtzum that we're used to understanding. Now, the Baal Tanya explains. Hashem was metzamtzem his desire and his wisdom in the 630 mitzvahs Torah and their halachas, ubitziruf veosis panach, and by combining the letters of the Tanakh, udrashosem shabagodas, and the drushes in the different agodas, ubimidrashachamishachamavah, and the different midrashim of the rabbis. So now, the Chassidim verse explains. Even though the wisdom and the will of Hashem has no end, Hashem garmented his will and his desire and his wisdom within the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. That each mitzvah in its details is a finite, limited entity. And also with the combination of the letters in the Tanakh and the drushes, even though every letter is finite, but he put in his wisdom into these letters. V'nimtza comes out. So in every halacha of the Torah and in every way of combining the letters of the Tanakh, he has garmented his will and his wisdom that's infinite. Because these mitzvahs and these halachas are commands of Hashem, which is His will. And the wisdom of these halachas is not human wisdom, but it's the wisdom of Hashem. Now, he says in the brackets, when we say the word tzimtzum here, perusho, it means Shekodesh Baruch Hu hichnis v'dochak. Hashem brought in and pushed. In Yiddish, he says, eingekvetscht.
Squeezed in.
He squeezed it in. His wisdom and his will as they are. Sheilam, so they're infinite. But he squeezed them in. He concentrated them. Besoch tariyak mitzvah tov chosem. Within the 613 mitzvahs. Shem tariyak dvar mitzvah tov. Even though 613 finite things. Look at footnote 37. Klomer. Lashon tzimtzum kan, ain't a kamot tzimtzum b'muvna ragel. We use the word tzimtzum here. It's not the normal way we apply tzimtzum. Tzimtzum usually apply to Hashem had to use tzimtzum to create the world. Shinyano siluk. The idea of tzimtzum is removal. Okapanim miut bedargas hashefa, minimizing the amount of flow. I'm not sure what the nun dalet vav dalet means. Benidon didon, I'm not sure exact. Benidon, ki benidon didon. But in our topic, ain't shum siluk. There's no removal or filumid or minimizing. Shigam kefi shenit no lamat. Even though Hashem brings it, gives it below. It's still the Torah and the mitzvahs. It's still God's wisdom that it's not ever ending. But they've been enclosed within finite things. He's pushed it into finite things. So normally tzimtzum means a constrainment. Constrainment means there's less. He's not saying it's less because it's God's wisdom can't be any less.
That's right.
But he squeezes it in.
Concentrated.
However that means, concentrated. But the whole wisdom, it's a diluted dose. Not a diluted, a concentrated dose. A concentrated dose.
Those that could be comprehensible to us.
I don't know how, you know, it's hard for us to understand what it means to concentrate wisdom.
I know.
But that's that idea. That's the idea. Remember the story I told you a few times already of a great tzaddik who wanted to write a Kabbalistic commentary on the Torah, on the Gemara. A Kabbalistic commentary on the entire Talmud. And it was, took him like, I don't know how many years, like 30 years to write that commentary. And before he was going to publish it, he wanted to make sure that Hashem was happy with what he did. So he went to sleep hoping that Hashem would give him an answer if what he did is correct or not. So in his sleep, Hashem says, you know, you wrote a beautiful commentary, everything you said is correct, but you have revealed way too much of what's going on, and you've got to hide it. You've got to cut it down. Okay, so he spent the next number of years. So basically, it was a number of volumes of, I don't know how many volumes, huge. So after 7-8 years, he cut it way down. So he wants to get Hashem's permission to publish it now. Goes to sleep. Hashem says, you did a good job. He concentrated a lot, but still is way too much. He's going to have to cut it down more. Fine. So then he spends another number of years until he's got it like, he can't make it any smaller than that. So Hashem said, it's perfect, but you don't need to publish it. Why? Because what you wrote is exactly Rashi's commentary on the Gemara. So what do you see from that? That Rashi was a premier Kabbalist. And Rashi put all the esoteric understandings of the Talmud and the Torah, he put into these few words. So it's like an orange juice concentrate, right? It's so powerful. It's a little bit, but powerful. But you have to know how to mix it with water to expand it. So how to expand what's concentrated. So that's why there's so much in this Torah mitzvah. It's beyond. That's why we say, you know, the Hasidim say a little yihiratzim before you do a mitzvah. He said, I'm doing the mitzvah and it should be with everything you understand this mitzvah to be. The way you want the mitzvah, I have no idea what you want from me, Hashem. You want me to shake a loaf of Nesrog, it's fine by me. What that involves, what wisdom, chachma is involved in that, I have no way of knowing it. But at least I'm doing it, and I want to do it with the intention that you had. Because all I know is I'm taking a concentrated dose, and I don't really get it. And even if you do begin to understand it Kabbalistically, it's just a little bit of the concentrate has expanded. But there's so much more that's there. And that's what it means, the last part of this footnote. Valderech, Lashon Chazal, like the rabbis say in the Medrash, Tzimtzem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechinaso V'Zacharon, Hashem squeezed in the Shechina into the Ark. It's as if the Shechina is there with all its power. And that's what he's saying over here. So it's not that there is a diminishing of Hashem's wisdom and intellect. He squeezes it in. He pushes it in and he concentrates it. And that's what you have over there. So even though it's infinite, it is yet concentrated. Okay, and now why that is so, that we're going to have to learn next week in Mitzvah.